To listen to more great interviews, download our podcast at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO audio at the App Store and Google Play.
And this is The Bigger Picture. Asia-Pacific markets are set to rebound from last Friday's sell-off as investors look to fresh data out of China, Japan, and South Korea this week. The S&P 500 saw its worst week since March 2023, extending a drawdown from its all-time high to more than 5%. This was driven by tech giants, as 40% of the S&P 500 accounts for tech companies today. Now, how will the broader markets be impacted by recent interest rates expectations? And with U.S. inflation data coming out this week, what is the outlook for the U.S. economy? Joining us on the line as we unpack all of this is Shane Oliver, Chief Economist and Head of Investment Strategy, AMP Capital. Good morning, Shane. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Willie.
Hey, how are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Now, it seems like progress on trying to control inflation has stalled, and comments from the Fed officials, including Chairman Jerome Powell, have also suggested investors to sort of dial back on expectations on the timing of any rate cuts. I mean, Shane, with the Fed's timeline keeps pushing back, how do you think this will impact U.S. markets?
Well, I think we were already seeing quite a bit of that. The U.S. share market, as measured by the S&P 500, has fallen about 5.5% from its high, which was at the end of March. So what we've come into, I think, is a rougher period. Obviously, this pushback on interest rate cut expectations is a big factor there. It was sort of okay initially because it had been occurring all year, in fact. At the start of the year, I think the market was factoring in 7 cuts. We're now down to less than 2. So there'd been that progressive pushback right through, but lately it's become a bit more serious, with some wondering, well, maybe they'll have to raise rates again. So that's, I guess, a factor, and that's probably going to continue for a while yet. Obviously, in the week ahead, we get data for GDP in the US and also data for inflation on Friday. So those numbers will be looked at quite closely. But of course, it's all occurring at a time when you've got this uncertainty in the Middle East that really hit markets last week, eased a little bit by the end of the week in the US. But nevertheless, that's a factor as well. So I suspect we've come into a rougher period for markets, and these interest rate worries, inflation worries are a key part of that, along with geopolitical tensions.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about worries and you're talking about the number of rate cuts potentially dropping from 7 to 2 here, I mean, Shane, what do you see about a potential recession? Do you think there will be a soft landing or a hard landing going forward in the coming year or months?
Well, that's the big question. Our base case is that it will be a soft landing. So far, many are talking about no landing. I don't think that will be the case. I think whichever way you cut it, you know, America and other countries have seen a massive monetary tightening. It's hard to believe that the biggest monetary tightening in the US and other parts of the world since the 1980s has no economic impact. I think it will have some economic impact. So we'll at least get a slowdown, but the risk of recession is quite high, so that adds to the uncertainty around markets. I think we can probably avoid a recession, but I'm not 100% sure on that one. I think it is a fairly close call. And it's interesting to note that when you look at the US, that we know there's long lags between monetary tightening and the impact on growth. And that's obviously what we've seen here. But those lags are still feeding their way through. We've recently started to see housing indicators soften again. Labour market indicators, apart from payrolls, do look like they're softening. And I think it's only a matter of time before that shows up in weaker consumer spending, particularly given that in the US, those who built up savings buffers through the pandemic are now running them down. So I think we will get at least a slowdown in the US, which will ultimately enable the Fed to cut interest rates because it will drive lower inflation. But recession risk is high, and that's going to be a factor weighing on markets. So I think, you know, we got something like a 10% gain in the first 3 months of the year. We pulled back about 5.5%, so given up about half of that. I think the remainder of the year will be a lot more volatile and constrained.
I mean, let's talk about currencies here. I mean, if you're looking at a potential delayed rate cut here, and with the dollar strength, what are your thoughts on the impact on global currencies?
Well, that's an interesting one, and there's recently been concerns about the excessive weakness in the yen, despite Japan moving to tighten monetary policy, and also the Korean won. So as the US dollar goes up, and of course here in Australia we're seeing the Aussie dollar push down towards 64 US cents and below last week. So that's been a bit of a surprise to me. I thought the US dollar was on the way down, but then I thought the Fed would have been cutting more than they are. So that explains it. But, you know, you've got to be careful here about the US dollar because it is very overbought. There's a lot of positive sentiment in favour of the US dollar. It is vulnerable to a pullback at some point. So I wouldn't be betting on a huge further rise in the US dollar. But it's probably also dangerous to bet against the US dollar because we do have these geopolitical concerns. Look, my base case is we're at or near the top and it'll come down, but I'm not going to bet the house on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, following up from what you mentioned about geopolitical concerns, I mean, you have the conflict in Middle East and Ukraine, and also now that with the lower interest rates, it seems like moving from currencies to commodity, specifically gold prices, we have seen the recent rally, and now China is also said being one of the biggest buyers of gold. Quick question here. Is there still room for demand to grow for gold?
Well, there probably is. As you say, China has been a big factor behind it. The Chinese central bank has increased their foreign exchange exposure to gold, perhaps reflecting geopolitical tensions, so less exposure to the US dollar, more exposure to gold. And then, of course, I think there's been massive demand via ETFs coming out of China, whereas there hasn't been a huge sort of retail inflow in or outside of China into the gold price. So you could argue, well, there is room for money to come into gold from investors outside China. Gold is known as a safe haven. Obviously, it performed its job quite well last week. It went up when Bitcoin and shares went down. So that might have the effect of attracting more money into gold and pushing it higher. So I'd have to say I'm reasonably positive on the gold outlook. I find it one of those investments that are very hard to value precisely. It doesn't actually do anything much beyond a bit of jewellery demand. And that doesn't seem to be a big driver of its price. But I suspect that in this sort of volatile, uncertain environment, gold probably has more upside.
Yeah, I mean, agree with what you say. It's pretty hard to value gold prices sometimes. I mean, going ahead, this week's many market data coming out. Shane, what's in the week ahead for you?
Well, globally, the big one is the US GDP data on Thursday, and that's probably going to show continued solid growth in the US economy. The consensus is 2.3% annualized growth in the March quarter, down from 3.4%, but that's still fairly strong. But the really big one, of course, is the so-called core PCE. This is where economists and commentators slip into jargon. PCE is another measure of inflation in the US, private final consumption expenditure deflator. It is the one that the Fed actually targets, not the CPI. So it will probably show that core inflation came in around 0.3%. I think most economists would prefer 0.26 as opposed to 0.34 to get down into the details there. But if that's the case, probably the market will say, well, that's no surprise. But if it's a lot higher or lower, then you could get a market reaction here. The good news is that it will still show annual core inflation in the US. So it's the PCE inflation measure, excluding oil and energy. It'll still show a decline, probably 2.7% from 2.8%. So it's going in the right direction, but arguably not quick enough to satisfy the Fed at present. And so that's why there's this talk of delaying rate cuts. Probably, I think they'll be cutting by September, but I was hopeful earlier on that it would have been June, but it seems to have been delayed. There are business surveys out for major industrial countries, the US, Japan, Europe, and so on, tomorrow. These are what economists call PMIs, surveys of purchasing managers, purchasing managers indexes. In recent months, they've been sort of trending up a little bit, telling us the global economy is okay.
This has been really, really insightful. We have been speaking with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist and Head of Investment Strategy of AMP Capital. Thank you so much for your insights, Shane.
My pleasure, Willie. Have a good day.
Stay with Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.